Well, it has been a little house of horrors when the blitz comes for the Patriots. I want to talk about this. We'll work our way towards Alex Cora and the manager of the year, which did not go his way. Was anyone surprised by that? Like, genuinely surprised. I heard Brad Fohn and Tomasi talking about that a few minutes ago. But I'm not surprised. We'll get to that in a few minutes. I want to talk about the situation going on with the Patriots, who are not playing this week, but there's a lot of angst, if you've been paying attention, and I know you have, about the blitz and Tom Brady. The stat came out, it was posted on Monday morning and went viral, that of all the horrific quarterbacks in the NFL, all the quarterbacks who you'd rather have the anthrax virus than have them be your quarterback, Tom Brady is the worst at the blitz in the year 2018. Have you heard about this? It's been going around. And that's part of the fallout from what happened to the Patriots against the Titans over the weekend. It has been open season. It's hunting season, and the thing you're hunting is Tom Brady. I mean, clearly, listen, he's been ineffective. The last three games, he's got one touchdown pass. But the stat about the blitz and how Tom Brady has done in that situation keeps coming up here. And, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. He is last in the NFL, 32nd passer rating of 59.6. A QB rating also last, of course, would be last at 23.6. I don't really understand the QBR. The passer rating thing I get only because I've been doing this dopey job over the years. Like, I know the calculation for quarterback rating. I know that because I was asked. You don't even know how to calculate the quarterback rating. I was like, well, yeah, you go passes attempted, and you toss in passes completed, yards gained, touchdowns, and interceptions, and there's a mathematical formula, right? Mathematical formula, and then that spits out the quarterback rating. In fact, I actually have an app on my phone. I'm such a degenerate when it comes to quarterback rating. I have an app that will do the math on it. But as far as Tom Brady's concerned, we heard Bill Belichick talk about this a little bit in a riveting, riveting appearance here on WEI with OMF. Just, you talk about pure entertainment value. Song and dance routine, when Belichick is anywhere, he's all about bringing that entertainment. And so those guys, they asked him about this monsoon of stories that are out there on social media and talking heads ranting and raving about Tom Brady and his struggles against the blitz. And Belichick, if you didn't hear it, I'll just give you the... Actually, I think it sounds better when I pretend that I'm Belichick reading it than actually listening to Belichick say it. Because I can raise my voice a couple of levels and make it more interesting. But Belichick said it always comes down to team execution. That was his response, right? So he said that the Patriots just have to do a better job as a team. He pointed out that there hasn't been a lot of pressure on Tom Brady this season. And he pointed out that the Patriots were one of the least sacked teams in the NFL. So, but he talked about that and the adjustments that have to be made. So that is an interesting part of this. That's an interesting part of the story about Tom Brady and the blitz. Teams have not blitzed the Patriots all that much. Now, I don't know how reliable these stats are, and you can take these with a grain of salt, but if you go by percentage of teams that are been successful blitzing the Patriots, you would say the defenses are not doing it enough, that they're not getting to Tom Brady enough. Now, there's some charts on the internet breaking down what percentage of time teams have been able to blitz the Patriots, but it hasn't been that much compared to some of the other teams in the NFL. But if you look at the numbers and you slice it up, the passer rating sucks. The numbers across the board blow when Tom Brady has faced the blitz. Now, some are trying to say it was not his fault. He's worse than everyone. Joe Flacco. Josh Rosen, these are the contemporaries right now in this category for Tom Brady. You're taking one thing and microanalyzing it. Case Keenum's on that list. Matthew Stafford is also on that list as you go down and look at it, and you know, watching the Patriots play this year, watching Tom Brady, there have been times where you know he is not. Let's be honest here. He's looked very very ordinary. Looked very ordinary, but then he's also had some games where you say, it looks similar. It's the inconsistency. You're going to need, depending on how the Patriots finish up here, you're going to need 3 or 4 big performances from Tom Brady, or at least passable performances. I mean, there's other ways you can win in the playoffs, but there, you know, there's multitudes of ways you can win. But the easiest way, the easiest path to victory, as has been proven, is just have the quarterback play above average football. And then it obviously makes everyone else easy. That's football 101. It's easy. It's easy to say that. But if you look at the breakdown, and everyone's looking for indications, right? They're looking for the fact, is Tom Brady now drinking the grandpa juice, that he's become old and you know, he's now outdated. So like some people want him to be outdated. And I'm not there yet. I had him retired. Remember that game against the Chiefs a couple years ago at Arrowhead, when Tom Brady looked like he should be in a residential care facility? The Chiefs just destroyed him, and it appeared he was an endangered species as quarterback of the Patriots. And I did several Maller monologues at that point on my overnight show about how terrible Brady was and done and all that stuff. I'm not there yet. Now, does that mean he's going to get out and get some of those Flintstone vitamins that the baseball players use and all that? Or I'm sure there's something in the TB12 formula that will take care of this, and the declining performance will rebound. And to me, I mentioned this last night, we were in here briefly after that riveting 49er-Giants game, which you want, you know, talk about Belichick being entertaining when he's on the radio and does an interview. That was very emotional, watching the Giants and the 49ers, two teams that are the equivalent of vomit, playing a primetime game. But I mentioned this after, that if you look at Tom Brady and his overall body of work with the Patriots, the biggest thing that he's got going for him is the schedule. Like, if he's going out and wetting his pants against the Jets a couple of times, against Buffalo in Foxborough, and also the Dolphins, you know, then we can revisit this, and then we can say, well, wait a minute. You know, you can worship Tom Brady all you want, but now we got something. He's, you know, he's the sacred cow, but even the sacred cow, the problems are there. So let's talk about this. I want to talk about this with you. We're almost getting to Le'Veon Bell in a moment. So the question is, this a correctable situation? Is this a correctable situation? Now, I've already let my hand out. I've shown you my hand here. Yes. It is a correctable situation. Now, my perspective here, you've got physical adjustments and the copycat. And we will mix all this together. We'll link it all together for you like Legos. The most important thing, the essential factor in all of this is the health of Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady injured? No. Is he 100%? Probably not. He's been playing football since September 9th, regular season football. So I'm thinking by here we are over two months in to the regular season, I am going to say that Tom Brady's not 100%. But nobody's really 100%, right? I mean, like you don't play in the NFL. I'm assuming you're not 100%. I'm not 100%. I'm sleep deprived. I have a wonderful job, but I don't get a lot of sleep because I'm up all night and it's a pain in the ass. But the other thing, I mean, we talk about Brady's situation. Can he make all the throws? Now, based on that pie chart, we talked about this yesterday. There's 12, the NFL and their advanced statistical arm, which is a paralysis by analysis situation, but the next gen stats, you can get this if you Google next gen stats and look at the quarterback graph. They break down the field into 12 boxes. Who's in the box? They break it down into 12 boxes. And in those 12 boxes, they have the passer rating of every quarterback versus the league average. And it's color-coded is what it is. So it's different colors to describe. It's very nice. It's you know what it is? When you stay at a hotel and you get the USA Today and they have that very colorful weather map, yeah, it's kind of like that. So you look at the chart, right, the quarterback grid for Tom Brady, and you look at there's you're looking for green, because green is where it's at. In life, when you have green, things are good. When you have green, that's a wonderful thing because you got money. But you're looking for a lot of green, which is better than average. And then yellow is within average. I realize that we are on an audio platform here. You can't see it, but just imagine you're blind and I'm painting a word picture for you. And then red is where you don't want to be. Red is worse than average. Tom Brady, I mentioned this, he's in the yellow area, which is just average. Just average quarterback play in 8 of the 12 boxes on the field. He's only below average or worse than the league average in one area. Those are the deep throws over the middle where he has not even completed a pass in the middle of the field, which could be a byproduct of Rob Gronkowski not being around. But there's only three areas where Brady has been better than the league average. Now, how does that stack up with other quarterbacks who the Patriots could play in the postseason? Now, Marcus Mariota, sounds crazy to say this because the Titans just kicked the snot out of the Patriots. But if you look at the grid for Mariota in Tennessee, who is some, you know, they're not in the playoffs now, the Titans, but that's a team that could be in the postseason. You look down the line, if the Bengals get knocked out, the Titans have a very fortuitous schedule if they don't have issues themselves here, where they already lost to Buffalo and the Ravens. But if you look at Marcus Mariota, he's got, in his chart, four different areas where he is worse than the average quarterback in the NFL. And there's also four areas where he's above the league average. And you know, go down the list of all the quarterbacks, and you don't see a lot of red in the top quarterbacks. Jared Goff of the Rams, there's only one area of the field where he's below the league average and suspect in that category. So you can go on and on here, and then you look at Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. There's nothing he's below average. He's above average in pretty much everything. It's insane. And I think it's 9 out of the 12 areas on the field Mahomes has been above the league average, which explains how you end up with 29 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. All right, I'm getting carried away with this. All right, back to the point. All right, is this a correctable situation? Yes, it's not a physical thing. As long as Tom Brady can make the majority of the throws, there is an avenue to correct this. There's an avenue to correct this. All right, so you can fix this situation. And then B, it really goes down to Josh McDaniels. This is the guy that's the coach in waiting. And whether that ever happens or not, you know, he's next in line. And so it's I believe it's not really his call here. I don't think he's going to have much influence on this, but in theory, the offensive coordinator is going to be the one that corrects it. You got to think that Belichick's going to step in here and play a role as Mr. Fix-It to try to find a remedy. The other thing, and I've seen this, we talked about it a little bit last night, it's been talked about on the station here, the offensive line, there were guys coming out of the game, looked like they were having a reversal of fortune there. There's an illness going around the Patriots. There's a lot of the blame game, right? You want to play the blame game and point figures, it has to improve, right? It's got to improve. And we know that it's being addressed this week, and they're working on the adjustments, but I keep going back to the biggest thing that's going to help the Patriots here and their confidence is the tabernacle of the AFC East. It is the sanctuary. It is where it's your happy place. These teams collectively are the Keystone Cops and continue to be. So it's the obvious position, which is the right position as you observe all this. If the Patriots have issues against the blitz in the division, and then again, that's something to go back and circle back around and say, well, what do we got here? What do we have going on? Now, the last point here, the last thing on Tom Brady, on some other stuff I want to get to, but you can expect everyone, and you don't have to be Adam Schefter or Jay Glazer, whoever your favorite NFL honk a guru guy is. You don't have to be one of those guys. If you look at the Patriots the rest of the way, it is now public knowledge. Now, teams should be blitzing the Patriots anyway, but those that were like, no, we should just sit back and play kind of a zone and let Brady, you know, throw the ball, we'll defend them. No, the strategy has to be, we are going to bring a bull rush, the old-fashioned bull rush to the Patriots until this gets corrected. So even the bad teams, see, that's the thing, though. Like, you look at the teams like the Jets, and there's a dereliction of duties on that defense. They suck. And even if the coaching staff of the Jets is, all right, here's what we're going to do, are they really able to do it? Probably not. And if Patriots, obviously they don't correct this, then things continue to get ugly. And Tom Brady, even though he's very good at evading the convoy of defensive players that come in, at some point you're going to end up the human pinata. And we know what the backup plan is. Brian Hoyer and Nathan Peterman is just one call away. He's available. You can be part of that. The GOAT, the greatest of all time in sucking. The Bills released Monday. It was big news, right? People mesmerized by Nathan Peterman. But wait, there's more. All right, look at the career. Now, I want to go back to Brady overall and where he ranks against the blitz. And if you look at his career ranking, last year he wins the MVP award. You know what his ranking was, his passer ranking last year against the blitz? 22nd. And this year he's 32nd. In 2016, Brady was number one in the entire league against the blitz. He had a passer rating of 125. In fact, the 3 years prior to 2017, Brady was over 100 passer rating, which is good. That's really good against the blitz, but the last 2 years it's fallen off. And you play the blame game. Is it all, how much of that is Brady? How much is the offensive line? But it doesn't matter. If it doesn't get fixed, it's irrelevant. All right, it is Ben Maller and you. We are hanging out, schmoozing and talking the night away. Late night radio fun. Hey, John Anderson production. If you want to talk about Tom Brady, I want to think about this. 617-7797-937. 617-7797-937. And I'm on Twitter if you want to sneak in on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. Now, the story that I wanted to discuss also is Le'Veon Bell. To me, this is the most fascinating story of the day in football. And this is a good day. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know how interested you are in this stuff. I'm like, the Le'Veon Bell thing, that he actually did this. He did the thing you're not supposed to do at the time you're not supposed to do it. I am fascinated by this. I mean, the way that his brain must be wired here. I have several theories on this, but if you missed the story, if you've been working, or I don't know what you've been doing, you haven't been paying attention, it's a bad job by you, but the big story in the NFL today, there's a couple of them, but the one we should talk about here in addition to the Patriots is Le'Veon Bell, who is not going to play football this year. He's done. That's it. Arrivederci. See you later. Get out of here. This is just unreal. The amount of money that Le'Veon Bell is leaving on the table, it just blows me away. He did not report by the deadline at 4 p.m. today, and so he is not eligible to play for the rest of the season, which means he has now forfeited the rest of his franchise tag. He has essentially paid $14.5 million to party in Miami and ride jet skis and play basketball at the LA Fitness in Pittsburgh.
Released a rap EP, too.
Well, yeah, that's good point, John. Yes, he did actually release some music. So will he be making $14.5 million on that music that he released, the rap song? Will that?
Some of my rap friends have indicated to me that it's quote-unquote trash, so probably not making much money off of it.
Has there ever been an athlete that had really good rap music, though?
No, the only crossover athlete musician I can think of is the Rangers center, Mika Zibanejad, has a successful house music career, I believe.
Now, there's a reference I did not expect, John. You've given me something I did not expect. What's his name again?
Mika Zibanejad. I believe he's still on the Rangers. He was their top-line center last year, but they kind of cleaned house in the offseason. I don't check in on hockey till after the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see. I don't check on college basketball for me. Starts after the Super Bowl, and basketball starts on Christmas. Although I do want to talk basketball later, but the NBA really starts on Christmas. That's when that gets going. But this Le'Veon Bell, like my theory on athletes and music, is that the people that make music know if you just put a celebrity's name on it, they can sell it. Like, there's enough people will buy it because of the celebrity worship syndrome that a lot of people have. Like, remember Shaq years ago? He made music. Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that have done it over the years. But I forgot about Le'Veon, but that's good reference. I forgot.
Well, apparently, it didn't. I mean, you didn't hear of it coming to anything, making a lot of money, so I assume it didn't.
Well, he doesn't want to go mainstream, though. See, that's
right. He doesn't sell out in two facets of life.
Exactly. The other thing about this, now I would like to hear, I don't know if there's someone listening to WEI tonight that can take this position, but I would like to debate you. I have seen several think pieces on the internet from people defending Le'Veon Bell, saying that he did the right thing, not allowing the man to hold him down in Pittsburgh.
Might be able to debate me on that.
Really?
Slightly. I'm not fully to that side, but because of the whole franchise tag aspect of it, because he could have hit free agency and he was ready to be a free agent, and they said, no, we're going to hold you here for another year, which I heard Florio call. He didn't say un-American, as he has referred to other things in athletics in the past, but he said he's close to saying it's un-American to do that to someone as far as their job goes.
Well, I'd like to tell the management here at WEI, if they'd like to hold me on retainer as a franchise player, which they would never do, I would be happy to take that if they pay the top five salaries, average of the top five salaries, or whatever it is for the franchise tag. I'm on the completely opposite side of this. Number one, if Le'Veon Bell had shown up, I believe he would have been the highest paid running back in the NFL this year. Guaranteed money, $14.5 million of guaranteed money. He had an opportunity here to play the system. It's not a great system. I would agree with you. It's not perfect for the players, but $14.5 million, the kind of neurosis that you have to have to leave $14.5 million on the table of guaranteed money, that is generational money. That is life-changing for several generations of the Bell family to leave that on the table. But it's also the fact that if you play the year out, now he was he got the tag last year too. I did the math on this. He would have made over $26 million in 2 years playing running back for the Steelers. Guaranteed money. Now it's year to year, but guaranteed money. And go into free agency and cash in. To me, the gold standard on this, the guy that played it perfectly, didn't sit out and ride jet skis in Miami, was Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He's going to play the Patriots in a couple weeks. He's not the greatest quarterback in the world. He's pretty good. But Kirk Cousins sat there. He sucked his thumb, took Dan Snyder's money, didn't publicize it very much. Every once in a while, he shouted, "You like that? You like that?" And back-to-back years, Kirk, we call it the Cousins package. Kirk Cousins has played the NFL for everything he could possibly get out of the NFL. He has dominated. The Cousin package that he got 2 years franchise tag money, which is, it's more money because it's the quarterback position, but 2 years with the Redskins, all that ridiculous money, and then he goes off to the Minnesota Vikings this year, and he ends up getting $80 million in guaranteed money. He's going to end up, I think the number I had was like $126 million or something like that, that Cousins is going to end up making. And Le'Veon Bell, he wouldn't have made that much, but John, he was going to make, for running back standards, he was going to make probably $80, $90 million if he'd just done this.
Yeah, it's weird as far as the generational money side of it goes, because 14 and a half, especially if you market yourself correctly, that is also generational money. And I know, like, part of the argument from, I would say I'm more in the middle, but the opposite side of you is that, and this was why I believe in the Denver days, Brandon Marshall just didn't come out for a second half of football once. I heard Chris Sims tell a story of that, is because they think they're so close to securing generational money for their children and for years to come. But $14.5 million, if you're smart with that and you live your life a certain way, like that is also generational money, I suppose. So I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, you buy some real estate, you know, and you diversify. You're set. I mean, you've got...
At least a couple rap albums.
Well, yeah. You can buy a house in Miami. You can have a place wherever you want, you know. South of France. I don't know what Le'Veon Bell's into, but it's just... I just didn't understand. I know you're taking the Florio side here.
But, I'm more in the middle, which he wasn't all the way to that side of it either, as he has been on many other issues, but... I don't know. I guess I can see both sides of it. But if he got injured, though, I think you're right. It's not like he wouldn't have gotten a contract even if he like tore his ACL this year. Which I know tearing. I'm not in the NFL, so I'm not going to speak to tearing ACLs. But
yeah. Well, the other thing is that some are trying to position this that they hold Le'Veon Bell in this high esteem, this reverence, because this is a noble act that he's like Robin Hood. He's helping other future players in the NFL. I don't buy that. Like, the only way that this is going to change, if you really think there's a problem with the NFL and the way they hand out the money, the only way it's going to change is if the entire NFL misses games and the owners are forced to have that decision, do we want to use replacement players, which people say, oh, it'll never happen. It already happened before. Could it possibly happen again? But I'm telling you, that's the only way. This is not going to change anything. This is an outlier. This is a unique situation with Le'Veon Bell, and it's not like in the future teams are going to be like, we can't franchise tag running backs or whatever because they're gonna sit out. It would take the entire NFL as a whole to shut down the players to go on strike. So for those saying this is an honorable thing, I think it's the dumbest thing you could possibly do. And Le'Veon Bell has just announced he's a moron to the masses by making this move. And he's, you know, it's his life, right? We're here judging other people's lives, but it seems just ridiculous. even if you make the argument, well, I should have sat out half the year, and it completely backfired because he thought part of his analysis here, I got to think, was that the Steelers would come back to Le'Veon Bell and they would be like begging him, like, we need you, we stink. You know, we please come back and save our season. And this guy, James Conner, has been as good in a lot of areas, better in some areas, worse in a few areas than Le'Veon Bell. Nobody thought that was going to happen. And so that leverage that Le'Veon Bell thought he had, you know, not that the Steelers could really tear up the contract anyway once the deadline passed, but my goodness. All right, we'll take your phone calls. You want to talk about that as well? The lines are open for business. I see the Blair Witch Project will be on tap here. He lied, though. I want to tell you, John, he called up the other day and he said, last night he said, I was going to call you on the overnight show, and he never did.
He kind of, I mean, we kind of tricked him into saying what he, well, it wasn't really a trick. It was more of like a, you know, it was a box with a piece of food under it and a stick holding it up was, I guess, how we got him to spill what he was going to say. So maybe he just didn't feel like repeating himself.
We didn't get the name, though. Like he got a new video. He went to a adult store in Maine, but he didn't say the name of the video.
Do we really need the name? Could probably come up with a few on our own.
That's a good point, though. I want to know what Blair's into, though. I'm curious. I want to get in the mind of Blair. That's what I would like to do. All right, we'll take your calls again. 617-779-7937. And I'm on Twitter as well. Hey, I read a lot of messages. I'm a degenerate that way. I like to interact with you that way. On Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's M-A-L-L-E-R. If you don't know how to spell Ben, you probably should have paid more attention when you were in school. We'll call this one Fear the Bots. Fear the Bots. A new spin on the Patriots. We'll get to that, and we will do it next. So we're discussing here Tom Brady. If you're just welcome. Where you been? Bad job by you. The blitz situation for the Patriots and Tom Brady and what the Patriots can do to rectify that. Now, my theory is just playing bad teams is going to help that. But ultimately, you're going to have to beat some good teams in the playoffs. So that's a concern down the line. And the saga of Le'Veon Bell. Saga, who's getting some bad advice. Someone's giving him some very bad advice. And the guess what happened tonight in Pittsburgh? You want to take a guess? What happens anytime an athlete does something to upset a fan base? That's right. A guy has gone on YouTube and is burning a Le'Veon Bell jersey. Hey, that's great. Solid. That looks like an expensive $200 Le'Veon Bell jersey. It's a bad job by him. All right, so let's go to Matt on the Cape. Now, he says he's going to take the opposite side here and take the Le'Veon Bell side. Because for the life of me, this is the most ridiculous thing to leave $14.5 million to make some kind of statement is insane. Well, leave that on the table. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
Have they fixed your truck, Matt?
They have. I have the foot to the floor racing across the land of Lincoln right now.
There you go. Good luck. Don't get a ticket.
Oh, no. So, Ben, much like your false thinking that Eli Manning is not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's not. He's not a Hall of Fame. No. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's slightly above average.
I could use your own words against you from your monologue, and you talk about Tom Brady, but we're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell is not just a running back. Therefore, holding out to get his actual worth is the right move. He is a crossover running back wide receiver. We know the running back position has been watered down. The salaries for running backs are nowhere near what if you use inflation and everything in contracts over the last 30 years, say. His worth is as a wide receiver. He should be paid as a wide receiver, not as a running back.
He's not a wide receiver, Matt. He's not. He's a running back. He's not a slot receiver. He plays running back. What?
You're making my point. His value is more because as a pass catcher and a running back, he brings more to the table.
He's replaceable. The Steelers haven't missed a beat without Le'Veon Bell.
Well, that's not the argument we're making.
Le'Veon Bell thought part of his argument was that the Steelers were going to be bad. It would increase his value. That has backfired. If you do the math on this, he will never get back this $14.5 million. If you crunch the numbers, and I don't, if you've done Hooked on Math, he's never going to get this back. And teams in general have this issue with running backs. They're very, you can call them tight wads or whatever, stingy. They don't want to pay running backs. Only with Todd Gurley this year, there's a couple of guys that are getting paid. And Le'Veon Bell's going to get money, but he's never going to be able to get back the $14.5 million he left on the table. It's insanity. Absolute insanity.
I disagree. He's going to get it back in the form of guaranteed money when his agent does his job and shows his true worth as both a runner and a receiver. Just like Gurley got paid.
Gurley's a different situation. You got to focus on Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, if you look at his agent's the same guy that's advising him to sit out the entire year and leave $14.5 million on the table.
Good job by him.
That's a terrible job by him. That is wrongdoing. That is incompetence by the agent is what it is.
I think by the kickoff of next year, after the Steelers realize that we're going to cut ties and they're going to get their compensatory pick or whatever, however it's going to work, you're going to see, at the end of the day, to use one of your favorite cliches, he is going to get his money.
He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid, but he's not going to get back the $14.5 million. This idea, and Mike Florio, who was the great advocate of fighting the machine, I get it. But Florio's argument the other day was, hey, Le'Veon Bell, he can go and he'll get that money on the backside of his career once he moves past the age of 30. That's never going to happen. That is dreamland. That is an alternative universe. It is ridiculous. He's never going to get back this money. He'll get guaranteed money. He was going to get guaranteed money anyway.
I think you're missing the big picture. Is he needs to be paid in the upper echelons as a receiver because of what he brings to the table in the
Right, listen, they don't pay running backs. They don't pay running backs as receivers. They don't pay receivers as running backs. You're paid the position that you play. If Le'Veon Bell wants to get paid like a receiver, then he should say, I'm signing to be a slot receiver with the Jets or the Bills or the Ravens. Then he would be paid as a slot receiver, Matt.
Oh, I guarantee you the Ravens would pay him.
Right. You've just admit you've lost this debate, all right? Do you understand?
I do. Would you like to switch gears into the Eli Manning debate? Because you'll lose that one, too.
No, I've already won the Elijah Manning debate. Okay.
You, in the last segment, then, said Tom Brady's numbers, quarterback rating, the standard is over 100, which is good. What was Eli Manning's quarterback rating last night?
Eli Manning averaged 6.1 yards a pass? You want to play that game? 6.1 yards. What's the bare minimum? 7 yards per pass attempt is passable for a quarterback.
Giants are going to win the NFC East. They're on their way back.
You're a loser. Stop drinking and driving, Matt. How dare you? Get out of here. It's Matt. He's from the Cape, but he's in the land of Lincoln. He drives all over the place. He's in Illinois. Moving. The truck keeps him moving. Hey, you want to play that game? See, he knows how to hit my buttons, that schmuck. Eli Manning. Okay, Eli Manning, if you look, I mentioned the Tom Brady chart, and you break down Tom Brady's numbers, you know, say better than average, only in, you know, a couple of areas. Eli Manning is average. If you look at those, remember those, imagine those 12 boxes in the next-gen quarterback chart versus the league average. There's 12 boxes on the field. You know, behind the line of scrimmage, within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage, and then beyond 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. Eli Manning is average in 8 of the areas. 8 of the areas. Actually, 9. Check that. 9. He's below average, worse than the league average in 1. So out of the 12 boxes, Eli Manning is either worse than average or average in 10 of the 12 areas you can throw the ball on the field compared to the league average. So, you know, I know you're still listening, Matt. You're a dope. Appreciate you listening. You're a moron. All right. Anyway, we'll press on here. We'll take some more phone calls. If you'd like to be part, 617-779-7937. I still have to pay off the Fear the Bots. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. Actually, let me take another call. Let's go to Adam, who's in New Hampshire, and he's next here. It is late night on WEEI with me, Ben Maller. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on? Welcome. So, are you going to defend Le'Veon Bell, too? You're not going to do that, Adam, are you?
To an extent. I have a quick question before I do, because I don't know the numbers. Before this season, what do you think Le'Veon Bell would have got as a free agent guaranteed money? Is it $40, $50 million? I mean, what is that number as the best? Before this season started, as the best running back in the league?
Well, you know, you're spitballing. Let's say, how much did Todd Gurley get? What was Todd Gurley? Let's use Todd Gurley as a baseline. So let me look up Todd Gurley's contract here, and then we'll say, if you say that he's going to get more than that, Todd Gurley got his contract with the Rams. He got a $21 million signing bonus, $45 million guaranteed. So let's say Le'Veon Bell would have gotten more than that, so he would have gotten $50 million.
Okay, so the one point that I will slightly defend him is, you know, guaranteed money, 14.5 roughly for the franchise tag, and I think he's kind of been on the record as saying this as part of it. If he comes into this season and plays for that kind of guaranteed money and gets an injury that ends his career, he's now given up $50 million in guaranteed money that he will literally never see because of an injury, because he got franchise tagged and had to play for less. And that's a big risk that he has to take, and so he decided not to take that risk. I just wanted your thoughts on that, your opinions, and whether or not listen, you think that has anything to do with it.
I understand. And thanks, Adam. My position is this. I'm wired. Like, I'm, you know, I work in radio, so it's not really work. You know, it's like I talk. I'm not. You know, you work a real job where you're, you know, in a factory or something like that, or you're doing a blue-collar job. That's a real job. This is just gasbaggery. But I'm obsessed with working. I always want to keep doing what I do. I love I love what I do for a living, and I enjoy it, and I want to do it. And I was kind of, whatever I've done, whatever my job has been, even though I've mostly worked in radio, I've always wanted to do it. Like, so I can't imagine by choice not playing and giving up a season of your profession when, you know, like, I can do this. You know, some dopey radio executive might hire me when I'm an old fart. I guess I'm heading that direction. I can still find a job somewhere. I can do a podcast or something like that. Le'Veon Bell, he's only got a limited shelf life. There's an expiration date on Le'Veon Bell when he turns 30. And, you know, maybe you go a little further, but outside of the genetic freaks at the running back position, and we know who they are, right? The genetic freaks, Frank Gore is one of them for the Dolphins. He's still in his mid-30s doing very well. But give or take a year or two, you know, you're past the age of 30, that's it. And then you got to go do something else. You're out of the NFL. And so here we are at this point. I understand the argument, hey, he's going to get, you know, a lot more than, you know, than $14 million. But if you played this year, you would have gotten that. You're not going to get that $14 million back. $14 million back. And if you play football scared that you're going to be hurt, then you shouldn't be playing football. You should go out and get a real job, make music, and you know, have fun. But so the Steelers, they don't like to give out a lot of guaranteed money, kind of similar to the way the Patriots operate. And so Le'Veon Bell rejected their offer last year. And he's going to get a multi-year contract. How much, though? Right now, according to SpotRack, which is the website that tracks a lot of this stuff, I think that's how it's pronounced. They speculate, and they're the ones that have all the salary cap numbers from every team, and they this is what they're obsessed with. They look at this and they say, based on the value of other players at his position, Le'Veon Bell is going to get $30 million of guarantee. Is that right? $30 million. So Todd Gurley got $45 million, and Le'Veon Bell's only going to get $30 million? Wow.
If he gets transition tagged, too, that could kind of screw him as far as what he's trying to do, because that means another team could just set the price on him, and then the Steelers can just not match it, and he has to go with that.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. But I'm of the position this is one of the most ridiculous things I've seen. I read a story in the past, you know, John Riggins, you know, before my time, of course. But John Riggins sat out a whole year with the Redskins back in the early 80s. And that was over like $300,000 or something like that. And, you know, this is obviously a lot more money. But you've got the deflation of the running back market. And, you know, you look at the teams that would be interested, you know, where's he going to end up? The Jets, the Raiders, the team that's the best that could end up with him is the Texans, I guess. He could go to Houston, Le'Veon Bell. But I know he's not worried about me, so I don't know how much we should be worried about him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll press on here. We'll take some more phone calls at 617-779-7937. I still got to pay off that tease. Fear the bots. Fear the bots. We'll get to that. Here's the Who Am I game. A blatant attempt as a Jedi mind trick to get you to listen a little bit longer. Find out if it works. To late night. Here it is. I am considered one of the NFL's premier quarterbacks, but I have a career winning percentage of just over 100 when my team allows 25 or more points. Now, it's not Tom Brady, so you can eliminate Tom Brady. But again, the Who Am I game, I am considered one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL, but I have a career winning percentage of 103 when my team allows 25 or more points. This is an active quarterback still playing in the NFL. Who am I? The answer next. All right, we press on. Time to pay off the Who Am I game. I am considered one of the NFL's top quarterbacks, but I have a career winning percentage of 103 when my team allows 25 or more points. Who am I? That is the question. What is the answer? Let's see. Does anyone have the answer? We look on Twitter. Matt from the Cape, the fanboy of Elijah Manning, is going with Elijah Manning as his answer. We have Drew Bledsoe guest. Who else do we have? Nathan Peterman, always solid. No, the correct answer, by the way, do you know who it is, John? Producer John, do you know who it is? The
great John Anderson? I don't know this one. If I could have, like, two guesses, I would say Andrew Luck is my first guess.
All right. That's good. That's a good guess.
It's not Andrew Luck. You say premier, so that should take Alex Smith off the board, but it's not Alex Smith, right?
It is not Alex
Smith. All right, final guess, Russell Wilson.
Look at you. You took three guesses, but you got it right. Russell Wilson.
Oh, it is? Wow.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is 3-26. The Seahawks record is 3-26 when their defense gives up 25 or more points with Russell Wilson. That's a 103 winning percentage. And Andrew Luck's not very good either. He's got a 317 winning percentage with the Colts. How about Carson Wentz? He hasn't played that much because he's got hurt and all that stuff. He's only been around for a couple years. The Eagles have played 12 games where they've given up 25 or more points with Carson Wentz, and they're 1-11. They're 1-11. His record is 1-11 there. Just for comparison's sake, now the stats going around, but Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City this year, there have been four games he's played in where the Chiefs have given up 25 or more points, and the Kansas City's 3-1 in those games. And you look at, like, Russell Wilson has won three games out of 29 possibilities. And you're like, wow, what's up with that? Dak Prescott also sucks. He's 2-9. I don't have Tom Brady's numbers here, but most of these guys, not good.
I know Tom Brady's number one all time when scoring, when the opposing team scores more than 21 points. I don't know about 25. I don't know, like, where to go. I don't know where you went to, like, punch these numbers. Is that, like, a Pro Football Reference thing?
No, I actually got this. Let's see. It was from a guy from Pro Football Reference. Oh, and it was Football Outsiders had it. Outsiders had it. Let me see. Let me check it out here. I'm going to look right now. This is very exciting. There's nothing better than this, to listen to a guy try to look this up. I don't see Tom Brady's numbers on this, though. I don't see a grid of all the other quarterbacks, so I'll have to dig a little deeper. Let's go to the phones, and let's see here. Ah, here's an old friend. I haven't talked to this guy in a while. Anthony, who's listening on the radio.com app in Anaheim, the notorious Anthony in Anaheim, a senior member of the Maller Militia. Hello, Anthony. Oh, is he gone? Did he do me wrong like that?
He's physically on the line, but whether he's there is the issue right now.
Go out and have a smoke or something like that? How dare you? All right, we'll let him go away. I think that's just one of the most fascinating conversations right there we had, me and Anthony, bonding. 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. Did I give out the wrong number? 617-779-7937. There we go. Sleep deprived. All right, so fear the bots. Now, this comes from my colleague over at Fox Sports Radio, Colin Cowherd, who claims, he's got a theory now, that the Patriots, that players don't like the Patriots, but he's got a theory why. He said, because other than Tom Brady, players don't matter to the Patriots. He said he compared it to the same reason that people are afraid of robots and automation. Cowherd's theory is that it makes us feel unimportant. Yeah. I'm going to push back on this. Do we have that? Let's see. Do you have that?
The rich in America, the wealthy are concerned about a future in America with only rich and robots making money. The middle class replaced. You go online, you see those videos. The New England Patriots are, to a large degree, NFL automation. Belichick and Brady are the rich and the robots. Players don't matter after that.
See, his analysis is flawed because the main reason that people do not like the Patriots and have a bitterness towards the Patriots is not because of automation. It's not because of robots. It's raw emotion. And what is one of the main emotions? I think they write about this in the Bible. Jealousy, right? That's what this is. The Patriots have won so much over the last 20 years. There is envy. There is resentment. There's also insecurity because the Patriots have been able to do this tap dance on the edge, right? Gamesmanship. And there is that hatred and bad blood because of jealousy, bitterness, and envy. I mean, that's where the animosity is. It's not because of robots or that kind of thing or automation. Listen, I understand. He's trying to stretch it out. I was listening to the morning show this morning, and Jerry was ripping a guy. Some guy wrote a story about Tom Brady and said overcooked fettuccine, that his arm was like overcooked fettuccine. I thought that was a pretty good line, actually. Jerry was killing the guy. It's a lead on some story on the Bleacher Report or something like that. But no, it's these other teams have the same amount of draft picks. They've drafted higher. That's the thing about the Patriots. The Patriots have been drafting guys for the past 20 years, mostly in the middle to late part of the first round of the draft. And later, every round of the draft. And so it's not because of automation and robots. It's the bad blood, the hostility, is because they keep winning and getting to the playoffs year after year after year. That's where it's at. All right, now, one other note. I want to mention, go back to Brady here for a second. And he is on a list. Another list you don't want to be a part of. If you look at the quarterbacks last year that attempted 200 passes, and now the guys that have attempted at least 200 passes this year, of the 23 quarterbacks that did that both years, there are 18 that have a higher passer rating this season than last year. They've gotten better. You get better, right? You improve. Well, Tom Brady is on the list of five quarterbacks that have regressed, that haven't gotten better. And he is on that list with the likes of Case Keenum, who was a breakout star for the Vikings last year and has been very poor in Denver. Alex Smith, who had a career year in Kansas City and now is with the Redskins. Matthew Stafford, his numbers have gone down with Matt Patricia in Detroit, and Deshaun Watson. Remember how hysterical some of these NFL insider guys were about Deshaun Watson and how he was going to be the breakout, unbelievable star of the NFL? And all, you know, it hasn't exactly happened. I mean, the Texans have been the beneficiary of some very awkward things going their way. And if there's any team that's a paper tiger in the NFL, it's not as good as their record would indicate. It has to be. Number one on your list would be the Houston Texans. You talk about a hollow team, and a team built like a house of cards, ready to come apart there. That is, they've had games handed to them by coaches who would rather lose than tie. They benefited from Nathan Peterman's football incompetence in that game against Buffalo. They also benefited from Blake Bortles giving a game away, getting benched against the Texans, one thing after another. There have not been very many obstacles lately for that particular team. But anyway, Tom Brady's on that list. So it's Watson, Stafford, Alex Smith, Case Keenum, and Tom Brady, the only five quarterbacks that have had their passer rating go down from last year to this year. I will talk more about Le'Veon Bell. And also, in addition to that, the manager of the year is not Alex Cora. We will discuss that. And there's another issue that no one's really talking about in baseball, but we will dive into that, involving the status of the sport of baseball. And there's some things going on that haven't gotten a lot of publicity that could change the bedrock of baseball. We'll talk about that as well, and we'll do it coming up.